Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your word, your spirit that infuses the words that we've just heard. And we pray that as we listen to them, we may hear in them the truth that you have for us. The truth that would guide our lives and remind us of how much we are treasured by you. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. It seems that the then Israeli Prime Minister, Yitzhak Shamir, and then President George H.W. Bush scheduled a meeting at which Shamir arrived late. And Bush let him know in no uncertain terms that he did not like to be kept waiting. Shamir replied, "Well, I'm sorry, Mr. President. I was meeting with someone more important than you are." "Who is more important than the President of the United States?" Bush asked. Shamir replied, "I was meeting with Moses." "You know Moses?" Bush exclaimed. "Get him on the phone. I want to talk to him." Shamir picked up the phone, dialed, listened, and hung up. "He doesn't want to talk to you," he told Bush. He said the last time he talked to a Bush, it cost him 40 years in the wilderness. We laugh, and it is funny, and I'm sure it did not happen. But I see it kind of as a comical take on leadership. How leaders deal with other people. And today, in our world, we have many leaders who believe they are doing the best for their nations, even if it may not be the case. Today's passage from the Gospel of John, we hear of a portion of a discussion between Pilate and Jesus. And it talks about leadership. Who's king? What kingdom? What's the kingship or the leadership quality of the person? Not only at a national level, but also in all areas of life. What makes a good leader? Now, we hear the passage today from John, and we kind of have trouble getting into it because, you see, we hear that idea of monarchy. And as we kind of said in the prayer of confession, that's a form of government or leadership that we fought a war with England to get out from under. Yet, that is the system that is in place when the story about Jesus and Pilate was written. Pilate is practicing shuttle diplomacy. We didn't really catch much of it today, but he's talking to Jesus inside the praetorium. And then he's going outside and talking to the Jews. And then he's coming back in talking to Jesus. And then he's going back outside and talking to the Jews. And the Reverend Barbara Lundblad writes about this. Writes about the Jews outside. Unfortunately, in John's Gospel, those accusers are always called the Jews. As though Jesus wasn't Jewish. As though all the Jews were to blame for killing Jesus. Years after Jesus' death and resurrection, animosity toward Jewish people infected John's gospel with language that accused all Jews of condemning Jesus. There were some Jews who opposed Jesus and some who followed him. There were some who collaborated with the Roman authorities, like Christian bishops appointed by the Nazi regime. Today we must repudiate every claim that Jews were responsible for Jesus' death. Pilate needed to know, are you the king of the Jews? And if so, you are guilty of treason because the emperor in Rome is the king of everyone everywhere, including the Jews. So she makes a very strong case of the fact that we just can't read a blanket condemnation of Jews here. And I think it's always important, especially in today's world, to recognize that. But there is indeed a dissonance in this story. a dissonance between the idea of kingship espoused by Pilate and the idea of kingship as espoused by Jesus. Again, Dr. Lundblad tells the following story shared by her of a colleague at Union Seminary in New York City, where, as most of you know, that's where my daughter is in seminary right now. She writes, Dolores Williams, wise theologian and teacher, was my colleague when I first came to Union Seminary. She grew up in the South and remembers Sunday mornings when the minister shouted out, "Who is Jesus?" And the choir responded in voices loud and strong, "King of kings, Lord of lords, Lord Almighty." And then little Miss Huff, in a voice so fragile and soft you could hardly hear, would sing her own answer, "Poor little Mary's boy." Back and forth they sang, "King of kings, poor little Mary's boy." Dolores said it was black church doing theology. Who is Jesus, King of kings, cannot be the answer without seeing poor little Mary's boy. The kingship of the emperor or Caesar, same person, was all about power. Power over others. Now granted, it could bring peace in that if people towed the line, they could have a certain amount of peace in life. They knew what was expected of them. And if they stayed within that, they were okay. They had peace. In the days of the Roman Empire, it was called the Pax Romana. Pax is peace. Or Roman peace. Peace by sword and laws. That's the peace of the King of Kings. But that's not the peace of poor little Mary's boy. Jesus told us his ideas of a leadership. When he went in the synagogue, when he began his ministry, and he read from the Isaiah scroll, the one that was handed to him, he unrolled the scroll, found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The dissonance between the kingship of Caesar and the kingship of Jesus is deafening. One was about power and one was about respecting the lives and the humanity of others. Where will we see this strange king that we call Jesus? Lundblad answers the question, look in places we never expected. Surprised as the philosophers were at the beginning of the gospel, we see Jesus engaging in deep theological conversation with a Samaritan woman who had five husbands and was living with a man who was not her husband. We see Jesus bending down on the ground to be with a woman accused of adultery. He leans in close to hear her voice when nobody bothered to listen. He sees Jesus putting a towel around his waist and then kneeling on the floor to wash his disciples' feet. Jesus is a king who never rose so high that he couldn't see those who were down low. Even today, we see Jesus in tent cities where people live after losing their homes to foreclosure. We see Jesus in public housing where people are still waiting for the power to come on after a storm. We see Jesus in shelters where women have sought refuge from abusers. Many today want a muscular king in the style of King David. That's what the Jewish people were waiting for, looking for. That's the Messiah they were expecting. The dissonance between Jesus and Caesar or even Pilate is deafening. 3 years ago on this Sunday, I wrote that there is a dominionist bent in the Christian religion today. By dominionist, what I mean is that people want a muscular King Jesus and church to overthrow all the other religions and threats to the Christian faith. They see this as the battle of the church today. Jesus and Pilate are still dueling today. There's a strong dissonance in the church of what kind of king or leader we want. And so today asks us, okay, you've now listened to a whole year's worth of readings and sermons. What kind of king or sovereign do we want or expect as Lord of the church? I've shared with you before the quote by the late great preacher, Reverend Dr. Fred Craddock. Maybe people are obsessed with the second coming because deep down, they were really disappointed with the first one. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that statement. If Jesus were to come back today and speak as he did of old, many followers would call him an imposter, a fraud. Because that's not the sovereign they're looking for. His entire life is a recitation of his belief in how a sovereign should lead. And it was such that even John the Baptist, who baptized him, wondered if he really was the one that they had expected to come, or if they should look for another. Because the dissonance between the perception and the reality was deafening to John. And Jesus told his disciples, because John was in prison, Jesus told his disciples, go tell John what you see. The deaf are hearing. The sick are being healed. People are walking who couldn't walk before. Jesus was aware of the difference. Because we heard him say in verse 36 of our passage today, my kingdom's not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. One style of leadership is the way of power. And the other style is the way of the cross. The way of God's kingdom is not about power and security. That's made so evident when we see Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. The dissonance is still deafening. The question for us today is, whose voice are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to voices more like Pilate and Caesar, or more like Jesus? Who has the truth? The Caesars of the world or Jesus? And if we say Jesus, do we have the courage to follow our sovereign Lord, the one we claim to be a follower of? The lives of many, many inside the church and outside of the church and our own lives depend on how we answer that question. May God give us the ability to hear the word of truth in the dissonance between Jesus and the Caesars of today. Amen.